And it is a very good morning on this Super Saturday morning as we get ready for the running of the 148th Newmarket and the 159th Australian Cup. It is, without doubt, a Super Saturday, and the weather has arrived. The sun is shining here at headquarters where we are live and will be throughout the day. This morning, myself, Dan Malecki, Matty Stewart, and then at midday on RSN's digital channel. Don't forget, download the app, and then you can listen via Carnival, the autumn ticket throughout the day with Dr. Turf and James Winks joining us, Dean Lester as well. We'll bring you all the action from fabulous Flemington and the Group 1 races in Sydney as well. And what an opener. Some of the most iconic Australian Cups and Newmarkets we've seen over the years. We're going to relive some of those a little later this morning as well. Looking forward to catching up with the Bay, Brent Thompson, who caused one of the biggest upsets in Australian Cup history. Dandy Andy, when he won the great race in 1988. Robbie Griffiths knows what it takes to win a Newmarket. We'll have a chat to Robbie. We'll relive the win of the quarterback with Dean Lester, RSN's own as well, a little later. We'll catch up with Neil Wilson. We'll head up to Sydney because, can you believe it? They're racing on a good track for Group 1 racing today in Sydney. Ronnie Duffersey will find us the winners. And Nick Williams, could be a very emotional win if Homesman is able to salute today because Michael Gudinski, part of the ownership there, and we know the tragedy that unfurled earlier this week. And Michael was such a passionate racing man, such a good friend with Nick Williams. So Nick will join us on today's program. But to Matty Stewart and also to Dan Malecki, good to see you, gentlemen, on this Super Saturday. Matty, how are you?
I'm well. I actually rang Michael Gudinski once, and I rang him at the wrong time of day.
Don't ring in the morning.
No. And I think Nick Williams might have set me up. He said, no, he's sweet. If I ring him early, that'd be sweet. The last thing he said was, lose my number.
So, early meant like
then I got hacked and lost all my numbers. So
2 a.m. was the early. No, that's what he meant. Like, but early.
He was, what an Australian icon. It'd be great to talk to him about his... beyond the racetrack, because that was a small part of it, but just he set up Mushroom Records at the age of 20 or something. Yeah. And I know we get a bit funny about races clashing on the same day, Sydney, Melbourne, but there's also something enticing about having a look at both, isn't there, today?
It's a mouthwatering day.
Flemington's fantastic, that mad charge in the Newmarket, which we always look forward to, but Nature Strip, the story continues today.
And you're pulling his tail today.
I'm half pulling his tail because there's a bit of pressure there, and I know he just gets rolled
it's
in Sydney.
$1.45.
He gets rolled in Sydney on good tracks. It's just what happens with him, so... Then the other sprint race in the Randwick Guineas
and
all that.
Two Group 1s, yet I think probably more exciting will be to see what happens with Nature Strip. But Dan Malecki, say good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
The Todman is unbelievable as well in Sydney today.
It is unbelievable. It's the race I'm looking forward to most. But I can't help but think, why would the Colts and Geldings be on so early on in the day? I would have swapped it around with the fillies and had the Colts and Geldings. I know they're two-year-olds and we haven't seen a lot of them. But is that the biggest... bunch of boom two-year-olds you've ever come across leading up to a slipper? I thought it would have fitted much better as race five.
Yeah, you can get those little programming queries, can't you? But either way, it's going to play out beautifully at Randwick today, and it's almost happening in a parallel universe with the good track up there as well. But
that's true.
All our focus really is going to be on Flemington today, and as you said, Michael, it's a beautiful, lovely still day, much like last week, and the track looks perfect.
We're going to introduce Liam O'Keefe, the track manager here. And Liam, as I say good morning to you, you probably didn't realise this, but Dan Malecki is a hoarder. You know those American TV shows? Well, that's pretty much what Dan Malecki's house looks like. And he rang us up excitedly this morning and said, you won't believe what I've found, and I've brought in two old Australian Cup race books, which we've put on social media as well. And as he gets it out of his bag to show Liam O'Keefe, have a look at that one. That is the Bone Crusher when he got beaten by Dandy Andy in 1979, which was the Manicato Dulcifer.
That's right. And I maybe my garages are a bit like that. But I'm not quite the hoarder. I don't
have
think
you got 1,000 cats as well? We're getting a picture of you now.
No, two dogs. No cats. No, it's a no-cap family.
40 cents.
I back it up.
40 cents, the race book back then.
Yeah, it's amazing. And how much do you reckon the Australian Cup was worth in 1979?
100,000?
Yeah, well, it was 101, actually, with a $1,000 trophy. It was the first year it was weight for age. It was a handicap prior. Yeah. It might have been weight for age at some stage prior to that. But that was the Dulcifer, who I think was about 80-1 when he... won that race. But yeah, and the Dandy Andy one was remarkable. So I had plenty there. I picked out a few that I thought you guys might enjoy.
Beautiful. Liam, did you grow up, I know you're a horticultural man,
yeah,
but did you grow up the same as us with these magical horses and your imagination running wild and all that sort of stuff? Were you as much into the horses as the green patch?
Yeah, coming from Warrnambool, it's a big racing town, obviously, with the May Carnival. So, yeah, certainly was born into it early. And then through school, when I realised I probably wasn't sharp enough to go to uni, we had to pick a trade. And I was always interested in turf and racing and golf. And so I said, if I'm getting into sports turf, that'd be good. So it started from there.
Mm.
Have you got a favourite memory from Australian Cup?
How old are you? Let's get your era right.
34.
All right, so you're a 90s man, really, aren't you, for your first...
Yeah, 90s, yeah.
What's your first big memory of a Newmarket or Australian Cup?
Oh, gee, probably Lonroe.
Yep.
Yeah, probably Lonroe. That's where it kicked in. But probably first big racing memory was the Maccabi Diva, that era. I remember coming here. There was 126,000 people. It was unbelievable. And sort of starting to... have a wager then, and that's probably what really kicked it off.
How many Super Saturdays have you now been in charge of?
This will be my fourth. Yeah.
And it's, I dare say, the biggest day in far as field sizes and ensuring that the track is looked after throughout the meeting, because you've got full fields pretty much in both the Newmarket and the Australian Cup.
Yeah, it's we often have our spring carnival, and that is four big days, but it's over pretty quickly. And during the autumn, it's a slow, steady build, and then today's the final day of that. So it's good because we're quite busy over the summer, have a bit of a break now, then race basically every fortnight over the winter till August, have a little let up, and then kick off in the spring. So it's a good spreader program.
In an ideal world, the best... weather and growing, you'd probably love to be racing through April, wouldn't you? Because that would be absolutely perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a catch-22 because you like that time also to do your renovation and get the recovery. Because if you do your renovation in April, May, the weather cools down and the grass doesn't grow a lot. So we have a pretty good spread. We don't have one big gap like the other clubs where we do one hard reno. We sort of do two mini ones. And yeah, that's the program we work with.
What's your gut feel, read the Newmarket today? You look back through some of the old videos of the big Newmarket fields of 2024 down the straight, and they split one on the inside, one on the outside. Where do you think they'll all go today?
It's always tricky to guess because whenever you guess, you might only get it right half the time. But I often think they'll follow the speed, and where's the speed drawn? It does walk fairly even across. There's a slight sour wind today, so the outside horses will get the protection from that. So you would think it would be middle to outside for the straight races.
Last week there was a straight race where they dawdled. It hasn't been uncommon because they group. I remember calling when they would split up. When they split up, it was run more genuinely because on opposite sides of the track, they had to make sure that they were running along. Yeah. Is there a chance in time we could get back to that? I mean, I don't know what if the overall appeal is for split racing. I personally loved it, and sprinters won sprint races as opposed to what we saw, say, last week, and what's been more common over the last 4 or 5 years, Liam.
Yeah.
Will we ever see that happen again?
Yeah, why has that happened?
Yeah, it's interesting. Probably when you get the big fields, it's more likely to happen. I'm not sure... if you think like I have, the fields down the straight probably haven't been that big where they've had to split. And then the other thing is, because they don't sprint to the first turn and then pull back, they just build. So I guess, and then if you get it fairly even, there's doesn't really matter where you go. You just want to get a bit of cover. So we can certainly set it up so they split, but it probably wouldn't go down too
well. I'd love that.
I was going to say, did you call many new markets?
Yeah, I did.
And how difficult was it to call a big new market when they've split?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. The thing is, you were still learning your craft, and I was big on watching the shadows, right? And I would actually walk down at different stages to the 1,000, to the 800. You see those watermarks across the track now. Well, I'd make my own watermarks in my mind, and they would split up, but they'd be run more genuinely. So they were effectively two different races. And they were fantastic, and I loved the close photo finishes. And I mean, Placid Arc's probably one of the most famous when they split, but to be fair, almost every year there was 24 in a new market, and they split all the way through. I loved walking the track. I would find that I reckon the outside's a little bit quicker today, and you take your quaddies and you take everything from 16 out wider. And I think what it did, it made you put in extra horses into a quaddie because you thought, I'll take one quaddie with everything drawn 16 and wider. I'll take another quaddie with the horses that are chances on the inside. It was far more open, but the racing was genuine, and it was exciting.
Do you remember there was a time that used to have a light down the straight to give you the guide as to which side's in front.
It's still there.
It's still there? Is it used?
Yeah. It's not used anymore because they didn't think it was necessary, but probably the other thing, just thinking while you're talking, that's changed is about 10 years ago, we were instructed to set up the barriers in the middle of the track.
Yep.
So that's probably changed well, because if they're on the inside, you would find most would go the inside, but some would make a beeline to the outside. That's where you probably got your split too.
Yeah, I remember I was at a lunch yesterday, the Vaux Rogue lunch, and Brian Martin was one of the people being interviewed, and he was asked about when you're taken out of your comfort zone. And Wayne Wilson came down to call one of the straight races one year, and he was a terrific race caller, got nothing wrong, but he just couldn't call the straight. He couldn't work out which side was which, and he basically put his hands up in the air and said, "That's it, I'm not calling any more straight races." It was like a guest calling role. And so, hey, just looking through the speed, there's not a lot of obvious... A serious suspect is the one that sort of jumps out, and he's probably likely to take the outside division. So I can't see any real speed, full stop, and certainly no speed up the inside. So do you think he'll sort of lead the charge out that way?
I think with that size of field, I think you will see some sort of split division, and whether it's three go to the inside, the rest go to the out or whatever, but that size of field, I would think it would be too big to bunch up, because if you went back, you'd be a long way back. So I think there'll be some sort of split, but as to what numbers, we'll wait and see.
What about the numbers? Obviously, we raced last week. You pushed the rail out an extra three to cover a bit of the scuffing?
Yeah, that's right. We raced on a genuine four last week, so we had a little bit of damage there, put the rail out a further 3 metres to the 5 metre position. Covers most of the wear and tear around the home turn. Probably when you get to the 700, there's a bit of marking on the fence, so they might edge off late in the day, but it won't be anything significant.
And the outside, they were... That was obvious last week that the jockeys were wanting to get to the outside and have the last shot at them, and that's where a few of the winners came in the straight races. Fabergino, who's quite a remarkable mare, she could just come from anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter where she's drawn, she just plots her own path, doesn't she, and she goes. But she was out wide, and so was the three-year-old winner. Is that the case today? Barriers down the centre, do they edge from centre to wider, do you think, even the inside barrier? Or do you reckon, is there a chance that something by that time of the day could chance their arm on the inside rail?
Yeah, I think it's probably the more the rail comes out, the more likely they are to go to the inside, because when the barriers are set up in the middle, if you get a small field, to go to the inside or the outside, it's quite a distance. They normally go up the middle, but I think with the new market, by that time of day, you will probably see some go back to the inside, just naturally because of the size of the field, because if they try to get a tail up and go to the rest of the pack, they'll be a fair way back.
All right, you know those things that you have in your memory. What, reel them off. You know the
going
the numbers. Okay,
the numbers.
So we've got 9.3 overall. The inside of the straight is 9.4. The outside is 8.6. The shear strength is 12.1. Good for rail 5 metres. We applied 5 millimetres of irrigation last night. That's a total of 36 for the week, and we received 1 millimetre rainfall Thursday morning.
Now, the 9.4 and the 8.6 up the straight, inside and out, is the lower... Just explain that.
Yep, so higher it is, the firmer or the stronger the grass is. And the reason why the outside is lower and it doesn't tend to play that way is because we have track work out there, so the stick just picks up a little bit of filling and marking in the track. But when it dries out, it won't have any impact. It's fairly even across.
So we'll keep an eye on the wind today. We're looking at the flagpoles over there.
Virtually nothing.
Yeah, it's just a bit fluttering, really. A few gusts here and there. But if it does pick up, it will be the outside that is advantageous with this southerly wind.
Yeah, naturally, when you get it from the southerly, it's basically tailwind out of the 14 right around the home turn. So you'll see good times in the circle races. Then in the straight, those inside horses will just get a little bit of wind, and then the outside ones get the protection from it. But it shouldn't play too big of an impact.
I've got a gut feeling that you're going to have an opinion on, and your mate part owns it, and I've left it out of the quaddie I took last night. Is Humidor on your radar at all
chance
today?
Yeah, I tipped it on the radio. Just the fact that I think it's such an even field, the Australia Cup. It's going to go around at 20-1. It's obviously Chris has got it flying. It's unbelievable what he's done when they've got it back from Perth, really. So had a good little sneaky jump out here over 1400 last week, and they were pretty happy with it. So something each way on that.
Yeah, well, I think he's a good each way chance as well. Quite remarkable. Last four Australian Cup winners are in the race.
And yet in the new market, you've only got one horse backing up from last year, which was Zutori.
Yeah, that's right. Liam, enjoy the day.
No worries.
Super Saturday, one of the great days.
Thanks, mate.
Liam O'Keefe.